University of Lagos. Then later, I went to the workers in training. The day he said, he got to know that I was appointed a minister, he said, "Ah, you will stand on the altar to preach? You, that I know very well." You know, because of what? Over familiarity. We know, as he knows all of my secrets. He knows what we do. And now I told him, "I am born again, I don't do those things." So he could not believe. You know, I remember one day I was hungry, I wasn't fasting. Really, really hungry. And I needed just 100 naira, you know, to go down to the bucateria and get something to eat. But I was not having money. I was broke. So I went to this my friend, I knocked on his office. I said, "Can you give me 100 naira there till tomorrow?" Then he looked at me and said, "Ah, man of God, eh? So, you can come to borrow money. Your God has not provided for you. This and this." He made all those jests. I said, "Rule, this is not, I'm not joking now. I need money. Just give me, when I get the money, I'll come back to you." So he gave me 100 naira. I went back to the office. I was picking my car keys when a knock came on the door. Lo and behold, I have done some work for this National Union of Bank, NUBIFI. We call them NUBIFI, National Union of Bank and Financial Institutes, something like that. I've done a work for them. I went there to deliver a lecture about 2 months earlier, and they said they will see me. So I didn't see them. They didn't see me. It's not that I didn't see them. They always come, but I'm not always in the office. So right there, the man just knocked and handed an envelope to me, 5,000 naira. It was a lot of money then. It might not be a lot of money now, but it was a lot of money then. I just went back to my friend. I said, "Look, you know what happened? You have made jest of my God, and God has proved you wrong. And I showed him an envelope containing money." He said, "Man of God, where did you get? Have you become a magician? Where did you get all this money from?" I threw his 100 naira back to him, and I left his office. So these are the things that overfamiliarity can cause. We don't believe in ourselves. They never believe in Jesus too. That's why the fact that this thing has been said about him years before he was born. So in spite of all this clear statement of Jesus' mission, the very people whom he was supposed to deliver gave him little attention. And when they did, it was to criticize him, accuse him of doing the very works that he has been ordained to do. Can you imagine? He was doing mighty works among them. And they were saying, "Ah, where did he get all this power from? What is going on?" The reason is clear. They did not see Jesus as the Messiah. Matthew, that passage that we read, 13:53-58. Jesus was in his hometown of Nazareth. And after teaching the people in the synagogue, rather than clap for him for the powerful and astonishing teaching of God's words, they despised him. Because they knew his background, they knew his family, and they knew everything about him. They knew everything. They knew his father, they knew his mother, they knew where he grew up, they knew the house. You know, is it not that small house over there? That small cottage house. In verses 55-58, the Bible records that what the people are saying. Is this not the carpenter? Eh? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brother James, Joseph, Simeon, Judas? His sisters, are they not all with us? They even know the sisters. Where did this man get all these things? They begin to ask. So they offended at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor." Two negatives. A prophet is not without what? Honor. That is, a prophet is always with honor. Anointing follows a prophet anywhere he goes. He has the honor. But where? Except where? In his own country. and in his own house. And as a result of that, Jesus did not do many mighty works there because they cannot believe. As we can see, the problem was not that the work done by Jesus were not clear or evident, but the people rejected them simply because Jesus was a native and they did not expect him to take such giant strides. They antagonized him only because he, by his work, was clearly above their league. Can you imagine that? He was operating at a sharply different level. They rejected him because it was too familiar to be authentic. Praise the Lord. As undesirable as the situation in Nazareth is, we should be hesitant to think that it is isolated. Because many of us think such things, oh, it was only during Jesus' time. No, it still happened. We can check by asking ourselves some simple questions. Do we have the same childlike faith now as when we first believed? One of our brothers gave us at workers' meeting over familiarity with God. Yeah. We become so familiar that we take God for granted. And that is what we are trying to lay emphasis here. When we first believe, oh, but as we go on in the faith, we take God for granted. It happened in the life of Solomon. It happened in the life of David. Because I look at the life of David, how he started, where he started from, and how God eventually took him, and how he became blessed, and he became king over all Israel, not just Judah, but over all Israel. What did he do to God at the end of the day? At the time, the Bible says at the time when kings are supposed to be at war, he was sleeping. He knows that. As at that time, no doubt that Israel was a world power. No doubt about that. Israel was a world power at that time. You know? So, and he believed that, my boys will do it. So he went. He stayed back. And then what did he do? He committed that grievous sin. I was reflecting over the life of Solomon over the week too. I look at how God promoted Solomon, what God did in the life of Solomon, and how Solomon eventually became, you know, this same throne. He has rivals. It's not that everything just came to Solomon on a platter of gold. No, he has rivals. If you read the Bible very well, Absalom initially has revolted, wanted to try, drove David away from the throne, and he reigned for some time. Okay? Then came another brother. I can't remember his name. Is it Timon or Tamon, something like that. I'm not sure of the name. You know. Already proclaimed himself king when David was already very sick and old on the bed. You know. After David has already promised that Solomon will have it. Then Solomon had it. Then he made this great sacrifice to God and God visited him. You know. And then later, he took God for granted. How God will understand. Because of his over-familiarity. Look, men of God, there are so many men of God too who took God for granted. Even in our days, we've got to be very, very careful. Particularly as workers. Do not take God for granted. It's a very dangerous thing. I've told you the story of a man of God whom one of our pastors told us, who has appendicitis. And they said, look, we are going to operate this thing. He said, me? Never. Me that lay my hand on people and they get healed? No way. You see, was he the one laying hand on the people? It's God. The man died, though, because he took God for granted. Don't let us be too familiar with God. So, the question I'm asking us this morning, do we have the same childlike faith now as when we first believed? Or has our faith gone down? Have we forgotten? Have we gotten so familiar with Jesus now that we sometimes hesitate when we read his words or when our pastors make some pronouncements that we should be excited about? Do we have so much experience in our Christian lives that we think certain things twice before believing them? We read the Bible and say, oh, no, that cannot be. Because we have gone further. We have read the Bible. We have studied the Bible very well. Have we forgotten to state where we are too familiar with God's words to believe? Have we gotten to a state where we are too familiar with God's word that we don't even want to believe anymore? Remember the story of Thomas. Thomas was an apostle of Jesus Christ. He was one of the 12. He knew Jesus very well. Well enough to still have some reservations about him. Can you believe that? After Jesus has poured himself to these disciples for 3.5 years. John 14. In John 14, when Jesus told his disciples that he was going to prepare a place for them and will come back to take them and presume that they knew where he was going as well as the way to get there. Thomas in chapter 5, in verse 5, has his reservation. Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Look at that question. Thomas, 3.5 years. And regularly when Jesus resurrected, when Jesus resurrected and appeared to some in John chapter 20, Thomas was told what happened, since he was not one of those who had seen him. This same Thomas, was supposed to be a cause for joy for Thomas, but it wasn't. And I would have expected Thomas to jump in excitement on hearing the good news. It was not. Thomas was quoted saying, look at verse 25, John 20:25. Unless I see in his hand the prints of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and put my hand in his side, I will not believe. Can you imagine that? So familiar with Jesus that he did not even see the deity in Jesus anymore. He only saw the man, just like an ordinary man. It's just like me. And he was crucified. We know he was dead. We know he was buried. So how can you tell me you saw him? It was the same Thomas who said, we do not know the way. Show us the way. And Jesus said, hey, you mean you've been with me for these 3 years and you still don't know the way? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Whosoever has seen me has seen the Father. Philip now said, okay, show us the Father. Jesus told him, look, whosoever has seen me has done what? Has seen the Father. So how could someone have been as close to Jesus as the 12 disciples? They were the 12 inner caucus. And still refused to believe that he had resurrected unless he saw him and seeing was not good enough. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Sin was not good enough. He also wanted to do what? He wanted to touch him. He wanted his hands in the hole so that you people don't fake it. Where the nails drilled into his body. So one might say that was as bad as it could possibly get. But a deeper check at our own Christian lives may reveal that based on our experiences, some of us are probably like doubting Thomas's, or even worse. Do you believe that? Some of us can even be worse. So, brethren, what I'm saying to this morning is that we need to keep our faith burning, notwithstanding the occurrences around us. Knowing that God's words cannot fail. Don't be too familiar with God. His word cannot fail. We cannot forget that we worship the God who, as stated in Romans 4:17, caused those things which do not exist as the what? As the deed. He it was who called the earth and its contents into existence just by speaking his words. It is possible that you have some challenges to your faith, but so did Jesus, who tempted the devil. So, Jesus, tempted by the devil, did not waver, but countered him by saying, "It is written." So, whenever anything shows like doubt in your mind, tell the devil, "It is what? It is written." No incident or experience in life will ever get in the way between us and God if we know the God we are serving. We just say, "It is what? It is written." We must avoid being shaken to the extent that we stop believing. Some people, there are some Christians like that. They're just Christian by mouth. They don't believe anymore. When a whole bishop will come to you and say, "The Bible is archaic. Ah, the Bible needs to be rewritten." You know that something is going on. In the words of Paul, Romans 8:37-39. We may have gone through or we may be going through some tough times. Yet, in all these things, we are what? We are more than conquerors through him who, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor what? Principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is Christ our God." I pray nothing will separate you from the love of God. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So the question is, are you convinced that there is no solution elsewhere and there is no hope outside of our God? No solution elsewhere, no hope outside of our God. And that's why I'm encouraging you this morning to have that same conviction. No solution elsewhere. Don't let the world take you away. Don't be deceived. Bring every problem before him. True praise and worship. Paul was very clear. God can do all things through what? Through Christ who? Not only that. He said by prayer and supplication. With what? Thanksgiving. Bring all your requests before the Lord. That is, even before you ask for that thing, give a down payment of thanksgiving. Because he has done it. There are several times I don't even have insight. That's the word I should use. There's no insight as to what the solution to this problem I'm facing is. But I first of all thank God that, "Father, I thank you for bringing this problem before me, because any problem that arises has a solution." So I first of all thank God for that. Then number two, I will thank God for life. Because it is because I'm alive. That is why I am feeling that pain. I don't know whether I once told you a story. Sometimes I was going somewhere along Lagos, Muritala Muhammad Way, I think. That road that led to that leads to stadium, you know, from Yaba. And I was driving towards Suruleri. I was almost at the stadium bus stop. Then this traffic hold up was just heavy. You know? And I was looking at my time. I didn't want to miss. You know, cell phones were not all that popular at that time that I can call and say, okay. I think the cell phone has already come, but I don't think I have that then. It's not all that popular. It was when just hello alone will cost you 50 naira. It's cheaper now, but that one, very expensive. Just saying hello like that is 50 naira. So I didn't have cell phone. So I was looking at that. So I quickly do one thing, say, I park my car by the side of the road, and then I would take a bike so that it would be faster. Just at the roundabout of that stadium where the bike was making a roundabout, another car came and threw myself, the bike, and the bike rider threw us up like this and then brought us down. Wah! And I passed off. But something happened immediately. After that momentary pass off, the pain came. When the pain came, I was very happy. You know what I told myself? I said, this means I am not dead. Because if I'm dead, I won't feel the pain. So please, there is nothing that is coming that God cannot handle. There is no situation you find yourself that God cannot handle. No matter how bad the situation is, there is something better coming for you. There's a silver lining. Is that not how it is said? There's a silver lining, you know. At the end of a tunnel, there's what? There's light. Something better is coming. No matter what. No matter how bad it is. You know, 3 years ago, it's 3 years now, right? 2016. Yeah, 2016. We were to close on a property, you know, in Calumet City. It was during the time of my bad day. You know. I think it's 2015. We started SARS 2015. And because of $10,000, $10,000, we could not close on that property. Meanwhile, they already have our $5,000, which they refused to pay back. You know. It was very painful. It made me sick. I said, God, you don't hear prayers anymore? Don't you hear prayers anymore? I was physically and psychologically down. But lo and behold, look at what God did after. Supposed to close on that property around May 14. It was around my birthday. Yeah, it's 2016. I remember. You know? And then we miss the property and we miss the money. It pains me a lot. The provincial pastor was telling me, don't worry, that 5,000 just go into the cost of searching for the building. You know, well, it will go into the cost of searching for a church that really has the money. But we know that every dime matters among us here. Lo and behold, look at what God did after that. It's all history now. God gave us a Rehoboth, more or less like that. Isaac said, and this place shall be what? Called Rehoboth. For God has blessed us in the, and we will multiply. You will multiply your life in the mighty name of Jesus. So what I'm saying this morning is that don't let us be too familiar with God. God is on the throne. He can do all things. There is no solution elsewhere. Stop running helter skelter. Bring all those problems before God. Go on your knees. Tell him he will do it for you. He has done it before and he will always do it. Let's be on our feet this morning. What are those problems? Rehearse them in his hearing again. Is the Lord of harvest. He will send laborers into your harvest, into his harvest. You will be abundantly fruitful in the land, in this land. Spiritually, you will be fruitful. Physically, you will be fruitful. Financially, you will be fruitful. There will be no barrenness in your life. Fruitfulness in every area of our life. You will enter into a project and you will complete it successfully. Whatever you desire in your heart to do, the Almighty God will make it to come to pass. Evil tongue will not arise against you. Every wicked device against you shall come to nothing. Every evil counsel will crumble after the order of Ahithophel. The Lord will deliver you from the scourge of the tongue. He will never allow your enemy to smite you. Jeremiah 18:18. Then they said, "Come, let us devise against him," against Jeremiah. "For the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come, let us smite him with the tongue. Let us not give heed to any of his words." "Let not the wicked devise against me." Everything that is devised against you by the wicked will come to nothing. In your place of work, do you want to be running helter-skelter? Do you want to be running helter-skelter because of your health? Are you afraid because of a doctor's report? Evil counsel against you will crumble. The Lord will deliver you from the scourge of the tongue. He will never allow the enemy to smite you with the tongue in the powerful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Pray. There is no any other way. No any other way, brethren. Don't let anybody deceive you. Be convinced there is no solution elsewhere. There is no hope outside our God. Bless the name of the Lord because he has answered your prayer this morning. Give him glory, give him honor. He has answered your prayer. Give him grace, give him honor.
For it is in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Shall we stretch forth our hands unto the man of God and begin to wish him whatever you wish for yourself and your family in the name of Jesus? He has just celebrated another birthday. Begin to tell God that birthday gift that money cannot buy, the Lord will give unto him in the name of Jesus. That as his days are, so shall his strength be in the mighty name of Jesus. That the devil will not rubbish his glory upon him in the name of Jesus. That Lord, when he knocks at a door, several doors will be opened unto him in the mighty name of Jesus. That the heavens will be opened unto him in the mighty name of Jesus. That the anointing that will never be ridiculed, the Lord will bestow upon him in the mighty name of Jesus. That in this journey of life, that the name of the Lord will be glorified in his ministry, in the name of Jesus. That the glory of God in his family, in his ministry, will never be ridiculed, in the mighty name of Jesus. That the Lord will bless him. That the anointing of God will multiply upon him, in the mighty name of Jesus. That the Lord, he will shower his blessing upon him, upon his household, in the mighty name of Jesus. Let's pray that his expectation will not be cut off, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Daddy, concerning your son, O Lord. Daddy, we bless your name, O Lord. Daddy, we celebrate many, many years in the mighty name of Jesus. Daddy, we pray, O Lord, that Lord, birthday gift that money cannot buy, that money cannot quantify, you will, Daddy, give unto him in the name of Jesus. His health will not fail in the name of Jesus. The glory of the Lord surrounds him and his ministry and his household in the name of Jesus. And so shall it be. In the name of God the Father, in the name of God the Son, and in the name of God the Holy Spirit. And the saint of God will say louder.
Amen.
It's offering time.